Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening to us in this great wide world brought together by the internet. We are the last three guys to do a podcast, our second week of coronavirus edition, where we're all stuck inside doing our due diligence, staying away from people, trying to get this thing under control so the sports world can get back to normal. I'm John Morgo. We've got Leon Brown. We got Daniel Bolton on the other line. We got a guest as well. Hopefully we'll have some other guests calling in because I kind of opened it up off of various social media platforms just for people as a way to kind of call in, communicate, talk to us about sports in general or how they're handling this coronavirus situation. But before we get there, and there's a lot to talk about in terms of the NFL, but I want to do something a little bit light for now. You guys have always seen those Twitter challenges, right, where you get something based on your birth date, your month, and your date, and something gets assigned to you. Well, I came across one that said, okay, your team is faced with fourth and goal from the four-yard line. There's 20 seconds left in the game. You're down by a touchdown. Here is your quarterback to wide receiver combination. Throw a fade into the end zone. Do you win the game? Well, my combination was Andy Dalton to Golden Tate, and I'm pretty sure we're losing that one. So before we go any further, I know, Leon and Daniel, I know your birthday's in May, correct?
No, I was in February.
February. Okay,
I was in February. So I think we got Jameis Winston.
You got Jameis?
I got Jameis Winston to DeAndre Hopkins, I think.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's what I got.
Yeah, you got Jameis. Leon, what's your birthday?
Mine's the day before Daniel's.
Oh, you got Jameis Winston to OBJ.
Yeah, February the 4th, right?
Right. So the question is, which one of you guys is going to win? Because I'm not going to. I know that. But you got DeAndre Hopkins.
Leon.
Do you trust Jameis Winston to get a ball to OBJ or DeAndre Hopkins in the back of the end zone? Or is it going to go through their hands?
Man, I hope he doesn't throw it to the quarterback.
That's who he's going to throw it to.
Yeah, so Jameis Winston just made history in being the only quarterback in league history that's going for 30 touchdowns and 30 picks.
Yep. So I think one of you he's going to get. He's going to get either OBJ, he's going to get either DeAndre Hopkins, but the other one he's going to throw to a cornerback.
He might get it to Hopkins, because Hopkins is one of the best as far as catching fade, like those little 3-yard fade touchdowns. He's one of the best at it. So I might get that one. But then again, it depends on who's checking both of those guys. If this is a shutdown corner, if this is a Jalen Ramsey or somebody, I'm looking for Jalen Ramsey to catch that thing, man.
All right, well, that's good to know. At least, like I said, I think one of you guys is going to get in, and I think the other one is a pick that's going to go the other way for a touchdown. So that's what I think. All right, so we are the last three guys to do a podcast. We just wanted to get that out of the way. Overall social media platforms that I am a member of, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, I kind of put this out there saying, hey, we got a live taping. If you want to call in, contribute to the conversation, or just, you know, talk about what has been going on and how you've been coping with it, that's fair game. Welcome all of it. Hopefully we'll get some responses as the hour goes along. We already got one response, and he is on the other line right now, and he is Mr. Tom White. Daniel and I know this gentleman for a long time. He
yes,
is working
sir.
For Morgan County High School in Madison, Georgia, and he's running their video program over there for that high school, for the Morgan County High Schools over there in Madison County, kind of using the in Morgan County, kind of setting up like a training situation for those kids to learn the ins and outs of television production, specifically live sports, and other elements of that. Daniel and I have worked with him before. Daniel still works with him. So, Mr. White, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you calling in and just, you know, talking sports, talking about whatever. Thanks so much for donating some of your time for this.
Yeah, man, my pleasure. This is going to be a blast. I'm excited.
All right. So the thing of it is, you were in the middle of baseball season when things just got shut down. So tell me, what was the status of Morgan County baseball, and what were your productions looking like?
Well, baseball was just into region play. They had two series under. They had swept Monroe area and were 2 out of 3 against Hart County. And we were getting, we've kind of, if you look at the pre-region schedule and results, it didn't look good. Right. But once we got into region, it looked great. Our productions were, simple. We were just kind of getting our feet under us. The weather had canceled most of our broadcasts at that point. And when I say most, I think we had done one soccer match before it got rained out, and then a half of a baseball game before it got rained out. So we got 4 or 5 spring sport games under our belt, and then it all happened. And now we're just sitting around watching and hoping.
Yeah, I think the speed of how it all unfolded, how one day everything was going on and then the next day everything got shut down, I think that kind of surprised a lot of people. How are your? I know your students are all set, have all been sent home. How are they handling this? Are they doing e-learning, using their web connections to get the instruction? How are they doing?
You know, right now it's a learning process for them because they're conditioned to that classroom setting. So while I do have a good number of my students who are actively engaged every day, there's still some who just kind of see this as an extended break.
Right.
They're learning. And the hard part in Morgan County is it's a very rural county, and there's a lot of places that still don't have high-speed internet. So getting those guys the work, getting them connected, that's the challenge we're trying to overcome right now, is how to make it happen for those who don't have internet or access to internet. It's not that they can't afford it. There's just not internet out there.
Right. Very rural section. Now, Daniel, you worked with Tom Cullen some Morgan County basketball. I know last year when we were talking about this, the boys team was doing well. This year it's kind of reversed itself. The girls team did well.
Yes, that is correct. The girls team, I believe, Tom, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe they got all the way to the Elite Eight in Class 3A, in the Class 3A championships. And Tom, I just want to ask you, you and I talk about this all the time. How did you feel about them getting all the way? Were you kind of surprised at the way that they came together and they gelled together to get all the way to get to where they were?
I was surprised but not shocked. They showed, and we saw this throughout the season. They showed halves of games where they were phenomenal, but they couldn't put together the second half, or they were trying to overcome a first half. They put it together in the last couple of rounds of the region tournament, as well as into the state tournament. When they went to North Hall, they just kind of ran into a buzzsaw there. They had not played in that environment. Some of those girls have never played in that environment. That was a very hostile environment for players. It was packed. It was loud. And I just don't think that they could overcome that aspect of it. They had a very good showing at North Hall High School.
And also, how
do you think?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Daniel. Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that. And, you know, of course, we saw the boys. We had to sit through and watch the boys play this year. Of course, it was a lot different from last year. They lost, six of their top scorers from last year. So, I mean, that's tough for any high school program. That's tough from any boys team to come back from. What do you expect from them after what you saw this year? I saw a lot of potential when you and I were calling the games for them. Do you see them bouncing back and at least challenging to get to the tournament next year?
Absolutely. They are they're still going to be very young. I think they're only going to have 2 seniors. They're going to have a very strong sophomore or a junior core and a sophomore core that has seen a lot of playing time this year and mop-up situations or just in general play. So they're going to be strong. And Coach Sims does a very good job of creating that high expectations of performance, and they're going to be fine. It may not be this year, but they'll be in the conversation for sure at the region tournament, at the state tournament. It'll be difficult to know. And also with realignment, it's hard to really know anything at this point going forward.
That's correct. Go ahead, John.
Are you guys going to be staying in 3A? Or are you going to be moving up, moving down? What do you know about your new region?
We are 3A. We are going to go to Augusta.
Okay.
So we're going to do Burke County. Was that West Side Augusta? That's Thompson, Hepzibah, and I can't remember the others off the top of my head because I haven't learned them yet.
But Augusta is a very strong hoops hotbed. I mean, it's very good out there. You got Laney out there as well, and you were talking about West Side. I mean, that is a very tough region over there.
Yeah, it's gonna be very, very interesting moving forward. When you look at what we've got with our basketball and, you know, across the board with all the other sports, there are going to be some sports where we're going to do very well and some where we're going to struggle. You know, golf, obviously, with Augusta, going to be tough.
Yes.
Going to be very, very tough.
Hey, but do they get to play on Augusta National? Do you think you might be able to get on that? Ah, too bad. Too bad.
So our region... We're going to be Region 4 next year. It's Cross Creek, Harlem, Hepzibah, Richmond Academy, Thompson, and West Side Augusta.
Okay. Okay. That's still.
And I was worried about that drive out there I talked to Ralph Denmark with Heritage. And, you know, they're in Conyers. So Augusta is a legitimate two-hour drive for them.
Yes.
He said it's great. You get on the bus, you turn right. And 2 hours later, you're there. He said, "There's no zigzagging through the mountains or any of that." So I'm kind of excited about that.
It's a straight
excited
shot.
Excited to go to some different schools.
It's a straight shot. About how long is the drive? About an hour and a half?
No, it'll be for those that are further west. It'll be about 45 minutes.
Oh, wow!
Burke County is going to be our furthest because you go to Augusta and you turn right, and it's about another 35 minutes down. So Burke County is going to be about an hour and a half, which is about what we're doing now to Franklin and Hart and, you know, some of those schools that are up higher in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, when we go to Hart County, those kids, you know, you go on senior night and they're going to church in South Carolina. I mean, we were right there at South Carolina. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the new challenge. I'm excited to see the new facilities. You know, I'm a school nerd. So it'd be nice to go see some new schools.
Yes. Now, for your football, you've still got that program going with the Grady School of Journalism from the University of Georgia, where some of their students in sports broadcasting come down and call your football games. I'm thinking of Jack Sedasian was a member of that crew for last year. How has that been going? How did that get started? And are you really happy with how things have progressed with that?
I love that program. It takes so much off of me in that I don't have to worry about talent. I can, you know, just literally go, hey, we got a game, and they show up and they are prepped and they have called coaches and they do that. It started in 2015 when I was at the Rockdale Career Academy, and they were at Rockdale. They allowed me to create the Sports Broadcast Institute, which basically we just did broadcast. I mean, that was what it was. It was all about sports. And I reached out to Professor Michaelis and crew out there about starting the program and if they would be interested in sending students, and they were. And on a normal Friday night for us, there's anywhere from 15 to 30 UGA students working the sideline, working in the press box to make us have a very good broadcast.
And do they rotate through all the jobs?
Oh, yeah, they are. Professor Michaelis is very strategic in making sure that everyone gets into every position from, you know, executive producer to producer, sideline talent, sideline producer, stats, all of that stuff. They do a very good job of that to make sure that all of those guys get those experience. And, I mean, you know Jack, obviously. The roster of students that have come out of there and done big things is huge. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Some of the people that have come out of there and where they've gone.
Yeah, I worked with Jack on a Freedom Bowl broadcast out of Milton High School this last fall. Hopefully get to do that again when the football season cranks up, hopefully soon, but you never know. We're talking with Tom White here in the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast, John Morrow, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown, talking about high school coronavirus, what's been the transition like, what's been the new normal here. And Tom, I just want to ask you one quick thing. When we were talking a little bit about how in terms of the kids are home and you're e-learning them. How hard is it for you to develop a curriculum based on this? I mean, based and geared toward e-learning.
The curriculum isn't that hard. It's the hands-on piece.
Right.
You know, when the kids are in class, they have access to cameras, they have studios, they have microphones, they have all of that. When they're at home, they have a cell phone. Most of them have a computer with a laptop or with internet access. And that's the hard part, because my class is, I don't have books. It's, hey, we're going to go produce a news show. We produce news on day one, and we produce news on day 180. So that's the hard part for me. And I've had to adjust kind of my expectations, because I'm an early riser. I get up, I get it done, I move on with my day.
Right.
I've learned that I can't have my production meetings with my students till 8 o'clock at night. So, you know, there's been a big adjustment there for me. But the kids, you know, the ones who are going to do the work are going to do the work, whether they're at home or in class. And those who aren't, it's the same situation. You know, that when I go through and see who's done work, I'm not surprised. That helps at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are the last for you guys to do a podcast. We'll keep your, Mr. Wright, we'll keep you around. If you want to just chime in on our NFL conversation, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking time out of your car here on Sundays. But we do want to talk about the NFL and the absolutely tsunami of news that has come across, especially Tom Brady has done the unthinkable, something that I didn't think was going to happen. He tested free agency, and he got free agency. He is now a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we are going to see a whole lot of dominoes start to fall in the next few weeks. Leon, there's that. There's Philip Rivers going to the Colts. What do you think? What do you make of all this? And are the Buccaneers now on your short list for a Super Bowl contender?
To me, with the Philip Rivers going to the Colts, I mean, defies all logic. As far as if you're a team like the Colts that finished 7-9, your starting quarterback was 5-2. Granted, he was injured, you know, for a little bit of the season, but while he was there, he went 5-2. I believe he threw 18 touchdowns to 6 interceptions around there. Mm-hmm. And you got him from the Patriots. And you sign into a two-year, $15 million deal. I mean, two-year, $30 million deal for 15, you know, 15 apiece a year. And you replace him
we don't know he's actually been replaced. I think they're going to bring Rivers in to kind of push Jacoby Brissett. Because remember, Jacoby Brissett last year went into the offseason. He had no idea that he was going to wind up as the starting quarterback of the Colts. Because remember, Andrew Luck retired just before training camp started. So Brissett kind of got tossed into the fire here. And that 5-2 record wasn't too horrible. But now he's got a whole offseason with the goal of, okay, I have to hold on to this. And I think bringing Philip Rivers in, it makes him a good backup in case Brissett does get injured. And I think he's also there to push Brissett to make sure that Jacoby does not take a second off in terms of the offseason and in terms of camp whenever we get there.
Okay. I believe, because, you know, the Colts paid Philip Rivers $25 million for 1 year. That's not backup money.
Right.
They didn't give him backup money. That's $25
million. Right. That's, I mean,
that's
a good point.
That's win now money.
Right. So if I'm Jacoby, Jacoby Brissett, he's younger than Philip Rivers. I think he's more mobile.
Yes.
He's more mobile than Philip Rivers.
Indeed.
So I just think that maybe they're just wanted to, but you're right, Leon, $25 million, that amount is a lot for a backup, but maybe the Colts know something we don't in terms of Jacoby's injury. Maybe he's not 100%.
And that's what I'm saying. You see how all the speculations are going in? It doesn't make sense.
Right.
It doesn't, because Phil Rivers, I believe this man he had a 2020 year last year.
Yep.
I mean, he threw for 23 touchdowns and 20 picks. The majority of the games that the Chargers lost last year was like less than 3 points. Those are games he threw to the other team.
Yep.
And by the way, Phil Rivers is 38 years old. Jacoby Brissett is 27.
Yes, yes.
If I'm a GM, I'm not making that decision.
Well, that's not.
If the... I'm just, I don't see where that made just as much sense to me as the Hopkins trade from the Texans to the Cardinals.
Right.
It's a lot of questionable things, you know, I see going on right now in the NFL. Like, I'm questioning. For example, I don't believe, because what's going to happen, I get his logic from a gentleman who, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of us listen to, is Colin Cowherd. I like Colin sometimes. You know, Colin makes sense sometimes, but sometimes Colin makes a lot of sense. And
that's true.
Last year, they were discussing the Dak Prescott situation, and you know, in the Ezekiel Elliott situation. You know, last year Ezekiel Elliott sat down, and you know, Colin Cowherd, he's not really the biggest fan of Dak, I don't think, but he was saying that, yeah, if you go out and you let Zeke walk, that right there will deflate Dak's numbers. You won't have to pay him that much. I'm like, okay, you're a non-Cowboys fan. All right, that's, if you're a non-Cowboys fan, that's what you're thinking.
Okay.
And, you know, as you see what's going on with the DeAndre Hopkins situation, and you have Deshaun Watson, who's in league to get paid next year. He's in route to get paid next year. I don't believe that Texans want to pay him.
No.
I don't think they want to pay him. Well, because they got rid of his best wide receiver. You got rid of not only his best wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins is like a top three wide receiver in the league. You don't trade that in his, you don't trade that baby in his crib.
No.
You know, just, I don't know anybody who's ever done that. I mean, that's like having the 49ers, as big as a headache that T.O. was not trading in his crib. They didn't do that. Jason Jackson, when he played for the San Luis Chargers, his nickname was Wild Child because he was always getting in trouble. I mean, one time, before the 2009 Jets game, where he caught 7 passes of 135 yards and got picked off one time by Darrell Revis, Phil Rivers had to go off and pick this man up because he was on the way in route to get arrested by the police because he got pulled over.
Okay.
And the Chargers wasn't trading it. And, you know, the Chargers weren't, you don't trade players like that. You know, and not that young, you don't trade that. I mean, we've seen strange things that happen, you know, extreme circumstances with the Vikings and Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. But DeAndre Hopkins, you know, wasn't that. That, to me, didn't make any sense whatsoever. And then we have the Dak situation. I mean, there's a lot going on. That just the head scratchers. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but it's a lot going on that's not making sense to me. Like, are these teams not interested in competing? What's going on here? Like, what is the GM? Should we have psychological evaluation going on in these general managers? Somebody needs to call me. I could do something better than that. So, you know, it's just too much. I mean, Bill O'Brien, if the Texans have a less than 500 season this year, because, I mean, the Texans are pretty much a perennial playoff team every year, am I correct? At least for the last 2 years.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes.
They're a threat. I don't want to call the Texans the powerhouse, but they're a threat. They are indeed a threat. And it seems to me that they're dismantling the team at the seams. I mean, first you have the Jadeveon Clowney situation that unfolded. They got rid of him. Now you got who's their world famous linebacker? That Arnold Schwarzenegger is the biggest fan of. I mean, if someone's going on my head, I forgot his name. J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
He's hurt. I don't know what's going to happen with him next year. I'm pretty sure that, you know, he'll be okay. But, you know, how interested are the Texans into competing next year, you know?
Well,
you got rid of your
I can stop your confusion on why DeAndre Hopkins was traded. I think the more confused thing was how did you lose this trade? Because Arizona clearly won that trade.
Oh, yes.
The Texans have lost the offseason, as far as I'm concerned. But there was a lot of rift between Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins and a lot of other players within that organization. And sometimes when you have that rift, sometimes you just have to let whoever you want to let go. They decided to let Hopkins go. Hopkins probably on the inside wanted that trade. He wanted to trade anywhere. He said, hell, get me out of here. I don't care where we go, where I go, you get me out of here. That was the problem there. Secondly, what did I tell you guys last week when we were on the show? What did I tell you was going to happen with the Tennessee Titans? They were going to sign, Tannehill, they signed Tannehill, and Derrick Henry was going to get tagged. He's been franchise tagged.
Yes.
I saw that coming.
Oh, yes.
And what they're going to do, probably around week 6, week 7, they'll probably restructure a deal for him when the new CBA, when the salary cap goes up, which I think is in 2021, they'll probably try to restructure a deal at the end of next year. And he'll probably get his money. I think he wants to stay in Tennessee. Thirdly, can we just deem the NFC South as the winner so far? I mean, they have made some pretty interesting moves. I mean, let's start. Listen, Drew Brees is 42, but he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game right now.
Oh, yes.
The Saints locked him up 2 years, $50 million. So we got to see him for 2 more years.
At least.
Then they also add a receiver in Emmanuel Sanders. I thought that was a pretty good pickup. Carolina has already deemed that they're going away with Cam Newton.
Yes.
Then you pick up the hottest backup quarterback in the league right now in Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. My goodness. I like what Atlanta has done, believe it or not. You get your edge rusher
in
Fowler, who came from I love that move.
That's
a great move. You get him 3 years, 48 million. Now you lose Freeman, you lose Beasley, you lose Campbell, you lose I'm missing one. You lose Hooper.
Right?
You lose all of those guys and Schwarzer, and you lose Trufant.
Right.
But you can get all of those back. Hayden Hurst, I think that was a good move too. Mm-hmm. To trade for Hayden Hurst for the Baltimore Ravens. We're gonna see what he had. Really didn't see what he had because he was behind Mark Andrews, who had a career year last year in Baltimore. The signing of Ty Gurley.
Right.
Tell you why this is a pretty good move. It's only for 1 year.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
We don't know how his knee is going to hold up, but he can also be, I mean, we still got Ito Smith, and then we still got to see what Quadri Allison can bring to the table. Because I think a lot of people say his coming out party should be this year, but we don't know what Gurley's knees are going to be like.
No, I don't think anyone knows that.
We really don't.
I don't think anybody
And nobody knows that. That's why that was such a good move and a good deal, because if he is going to run like that, we got him for one good year. We could possibly get him for another year or two. And besides, Gurley wanted to come back here anyway.
Oh, yes.
I always get the guys who want to come here.
And then
I think we're set up pretty good in the draft, too. I think Atlanta might end up jumping up into the top 10. Hopefully, they can jump up and get an outside linebacker. That's where they're losing their depth at. Isaiah Simmons, to me, is the go-getting linebacker out of Clemson. And that would be the guy that I would be targeting. And, of course, you can't leave the NFC South without mentioning Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. We're going to see this guy twice a year. Twice a year.
Yep.
And he's got the weapons around him. He's got the receiving core. Hey, listen, with the new CBA in effect and you adding an extra wild card team, and I just rattled off all those teams, all four teams from the NFC South could possibly get in the playoffs. Because of the wild card, because of adding the extra wild card team,
yes,
they're possibly getting to the playoffs. So, I mean, I think that they've all done a tremendous job. Leon, I understand it, man. It's been some question marks. The Phillip Rivers situation, I understand. The Colts are. I'm still on the fence about that one. I didn't think he was going to Indianapolis. But I think the one that kind of puzzled me a little bit is Melvin Gordon to the Denver Broncos. I think that puzzled me a whole lot more than the Phillip Rivers move.
That's
a strange one. That's him. Melvin Gordon, if he has another year like he had last year, will be in the XFL next year.
I gotta look into that. I have to look into that. But if Melvin Gordon, because you know the best year that Melvin Gordon had was not really all that good of a year if you think about it. He barely hit over 1,000 yards. He barely, it was his first time ever averaging more than 4 yards per carry. I'm talking about 2 years ago. So this next year will be a redemption year for him. Mm-hmm. And he may have an extended offseason, depends on how society goes. But, you know, we'll see how things, we'll see how things pan out for him. You know, good luck to him. You know, I wish he would stay at Charger, to be honest with you. You know, he's not quite LT, but, you know, he's maybe the closest thing we had to a great runner in 10 years, sad to say.
Yep, since LT left.
LT, you know, we thought we had problems with the other guy, but he didn't work out. So, you know, the best of luck to him. But I hope we go off and we get Cam Newton. Because the Chargers in Los Angeles need a spark. Los Angeles, as far as football is concerned, is a Rams and Raider town. And, you know, it's like the Chargers, since they've been there, I mean, they had a decent season in 2018. We got ousted in the divisional round, as usual, by Tom Brady. So the Chargers need some type of spark. You know, we got rid of Phillip Rivers. I think that was addition by major subtraction. So we have a clean slate. The story of the offseason, in my opinion, it's a lot of stories. But what is up with Dak not getting his money? I mean, if you're Dak Prescott. They're trying to franchise him.
Yeah, they thought, yeah.
They're not going to pay him.
And it's puzzling, too, because they just gave Amari Cooper 5 years, $100 million. And that's the whole puzzle. Hey, listen, I'm not saying he don't deserve that money. Listen, Amari Cooper can go out there and get it, okay? That's without question. But, man, Dak Prescott, he had a Pro Bowl season, was snubbed of the Pro Bowl, a lot of people would say. And you still give this guy his money? I don't know. But here's the thing about that, too. Dak Prescott was offered $35 million, and he turned it down.
Yep.
So I guess the question would be, and Tom, I hope you jump in on this one. What is his price? Like, what do you guys think is his price tag? That's what I want to know. What do you think is his price tag? You turned down $35 million a year. What is your price tag?
He wants 45.
Yeah, he wants to be paid like an elite quarterback. But as we've said on this show many times, and Leon will definitely back me up on this, you've got to prove that you're an elite quarterback with your numbers. And I'm not sure if Dak has done that. I mean, his team can only go 8-8, 7-9, 9-7. You know, if you want that type of numbers.
I guess my question is, does he deserve, like Tom just said, he wants 45. Does he deserve 45, though? He's had great numbers. Get your bag if you can, but is he a $45 million a year quarterback? The question.
Yeah. Does anyone else want to chime in if I go on?
He is the Jeff Fisher of quarterbacks. He does just enough to keep his job. He does just enough to flash in the pan. But at the end of the day, he is not middle of the road, but he is certainly not an elite quarterback.
You said he's the Jeff Fisher. If anything, that makes him his old head coach, Jason Garrett. That's the knock on Jason Garrett for the last 10 years for his stay in Dallas.
True.
Just enough to keep his job. Of course, you know, Jerry Jones liked the guy anyway, and now we're seeing that maybe Jerry's not too thrilled with Dak in terms of what he brings to the table. But again, this is going to be an interesting year for Dallas now that they have gotten rid of Garrett. We'll see, again, if this is indeed Garrett's fault or if it is indeed the players. And I think Dak really is going to have to put up the numbers this season to prove to his owner and maybe prove to himself, maybe prove to the league that he is worth that amount that he is demanding or asking for.
Yeah, I think Dak, he has a lot of levers going in his direction, but I think that he's getting set up to be backdoored. Because you have a quarterback out there by the name of Andy Dalton that's available. Mm. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think it'll be a very unpopular decision. But something tells me that Dak is never Jerry's guy.
Yeah, I tend to get that feeling too. But I think Dak is. I think if you're bringing Andy Dalton, I'd stick with Dak. I think he's better than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I think he is too. I think Dak is better than a lot of these guys. But you know, the Cowboys led the league in drops last year.
Right.
Exactly.
Quite a step. Oh yeah, a lot of those incomplete passes were just drops. The supporting cast is paid. Mm-hmm. They paid Tannehill before they paid Derrick Henry. So I know Dak is feeling uber disrespected with that one. So it's like, you know, if you're Jerry, I mean, how bad do you want to win? And that's what Dak is looking at him. I think Dak and his team are asking him the same question. Jerry, how bad do you really want
to
win?
Well, we know the answer to that question. That is incredibly badly. He wants to win worse than anybody.
And Zeke told Jerry the same thing. And a couple other players whom, because Jerry's known for setting the market Jerry's known for overpaying players.
Right.
I think he has the highest paid. He has the highest paid running back. He has his offensive line is fed handsomely. Mm-hmm. His defense is fed handsomely. So Dak is sitting like, well, based on, you know, he's looking at behavioral pattern recognition or financial pattern recognition. I need some of this money to come my way. And he has till July. I think the deadline to sign is July 16th.
Yep.
They have till July 16th to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But if I'm Jerry, you don't need Dak walking on you.
Oh no, you need him buying in.
Oh yeah, you need him for real because it's very hard to, you know, you got teams like the Miami Dolphins that yet to replace Dan Marino.
Right.
It's been 20 years, mm-hmm. 20 plus years. We have the Miami Dolphins have yet to replace Dan Marino.
Yep, they haven't.
Who knows how long Dolphins. Huh?
Yeah, they haven't been able to hit on a quarterback yet.
The Denver Broncos. I mean, we could. It took them almost 20 years to replace John Elway. Mm-hmm. I think the team that I've seen with the best luck when it comes to quarterbacks is the 49ers. So they went from John Elway to a smooth transition to Steve Young. They had a quarterback drop, and they got Alex Smith. They went from Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick. Now they got Jimmy G. A lot of teams aren't that lucky.
Right.
A lot of teams are not that lucky. Am I saying that Dak is another Trojan? No, I'm not saying quite that. This is the closest thing to the mid-90s Cowboys that we've seen in a very long time. The closest thing to, I mean, Dak is no Troy, Zeke is no Emmett, Amari is no Michael. But they're close. They have the potential.
And the ironic thing is that even though they're not the Dallas Big Three, they could still win the NFC East.
Yeah.
They just need a little bit of a goose, maybe tighten down the defense, get another edge rusher or cornerback, and they could easily win that division.
Well, they lost their best corner. They just lost their best corner in Byron Jones. They lost him in Miami. So, yeah, they're going to definitely have to re-up on that. But wait a minute, I think they just signed somebody. Trying to think of who it is. They picked up Ha-Ha Clinton Dent.
That's right.
That's who they picked up.
That's right.
They picked up Ha-Ha Clinton Dent. So we'll see how that move pans out for Dallas.
Yeah, so it's going to be. And I look for a team. I look for Arizona to make a huge leap next year.
Oh gosh, that and everyone's talking about the NFC South, the NFC West. Woo!
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you can't write out Arizona anymore. Kyler Murray's going to have another year to get involved in that offense. Arizona's definitely making some moves.
Yeah. That offense is going to be great, and they're going to be stacked up on defense too. Because I think Devondre Campbell, who actually went out to Arizona, I think he's going to probably flourish in that defensive scheme as well. So, and kudos to him. I thought he did a great job when he was down. He actually led the team in tackles last year with 129. So, I think that was a good look for Arizona. I think he was probably just looking for a different change of scenery. Probably didn't think Atlanta was going to re-sign him to whatever money he was looking for. So I think it's a good look for him, and congratulations to him. Congratulations to Vic Beasley too. He's out there in Tennessee. He might, you know, revitalize his career. I mean, he's only really had one dominant season, and he came on at the end of this year, but it just wasn't enough to really cut it. But I think he has an opportunity to flourish over in Tennessee.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
So, who are you guys taking between Arizona and Cleveland next year? Who over under 10 wins for which team?
Okay, so let me start this off. Because let's start with Cleveland first. Every time we see something happen with Cleveland, it's always that, okay, here we go.
Yes.
We got Cleveland. Cleveland might be coming.
And they never
They have anywhere. No excuse now. And they never go anywhere. Baker Mayfield has every single weapon for all around him that he could have.
Mm-hmm.
He just got Austin Hooper. And I'm not saying Hooper's the best tight end in football. I don't think he is. That's Kelsey. I mean, Kelsey or who's the other guy? But it's definitely, well, Kelsey's definitely one to me.
Yeah.
And George Kittle. Kittle could be number two. And then you got Ertz, and then Hooper might fall in there. But Hooper's definitely a top five tight end. Okay? But you got a reliable weapon. Okay? You still have Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. You got two good running backs, man. You ought to put up 30 points a game. Come on now. And yeah, and I'm not saying you're going to win the NFC North. The AFC North, excuse me. I'm not saying that. I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, am I saying that they're going to win that division, because the Ravens still have a solid defense and they still have Lamar Jackson, who a lot of people can't stop.
Hold on now. Why would they win the NFC North? I mean, AFC North.
I think.
Why wouldn't who?
Cleveland?
Why wouldn't they?
A guy by the
that's
name of Lamar
saying.
Jackson,
that's
Baltimore.
That's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm saying. They could, but they couldn't. I mean, we still got to give Baltimore their props. But they should at least be a 10 or 11 win team and not this mediocre 7-9 and 8-8 that they keep giving people. They are not the Cleveland Browns from 7 years ago when you look at that roster. They're not. They're better than what they are. They are not 0-16. They have to stop living in that mentality and start playing like they're 10-5, like they're at least a 10-6 or an 11-5 team. And that's been the problem with them, just like with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We always say Tampa Bay is up next. Okay, you got your quarterback now.
Right.
You got Brady, who I believe can still give you two good years and can get you the divisions. Let's go. Let's play some football. Let's do this.
Personally, I think it's going to be a lot harder for Arizona to get to 10 wins simply because of their division than Cleveland.
Well, yeah, their division, yeah. I mean, they've got San Francisco, Seattle. And L.A., yeah, L.A. is still going to be around.
Yeah, they're going to be around. They're not the force they're going to be. They're not the force they're going to be were 2 years ago. But they're still,
definitely
still going to be a tough out.
Yes, they're going to be a very tough out. Very tough out. But yeah, you still got Seattle and San Francisco still hanging up there.
Absolutely. So if you're Cleveland this year, and I expect nothing less than playoffs, you know, for this year with a Baker Mayfield-led team. This is your third year coming in. Mm-hmm. You have a stud in Myles Garrett leading your defense.
Just tell him not to throw a helmet.
But you know what I'm saying? Just keep his helmet on his head this time. We look at they have two stud wide receivers that I believe if these stud wide receivers are so studly that if they don't do anything good this year, I think they run the risk of losing one of those two.
Okay. Because
you know how temperamental Odell Beckham is.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
He's going out.
Well, I think Cleveland's got a definite shot for a wild card. I think Baltimore is still going to win the AFC North. But, yeah, Cleveland definitely in contention for the wild card. But we got to see what Pittsburgh looks like and how Big Ben comes back. He just posted an Instagram video where he looked more like the second coming of Grizzly Adams. But I gotta believe that Big Ben doesn't really have – he's got to come back 100%. And right now I'm not 100% sure that he can do that. And then you got the Bengals who are, of course, they'll be year one Joe Burrow. So unless something amazing happens, we can write them off. So really Cleveland's only obstacle to a wild card berth, at least in that division, will be the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think they're pretty – I also think Mike Tomlin did a great job coaching them last year because they're pretty much the same philosophy – not the same philosophy, the same baseline, the same environment that they had last year. And the question is, can Tomlin do it again and get this team at least close to a playoff berth, if not actually getting in? But, yeah, I think with the extra wild card, I think Cleveland definitely has the inside track for that. What that will do in the playoffs, who knows? Especially now that you got Mr. Brady gone from the Patriots. Who will the Patriots bring in for their quarterback? Because that's going to really open up that division and maybe give the Bills. I think the Buffalo Bills might have the inside track. If anyone's going to knock off New England from their perch, it will be the Buffalo Bills.
I agree.
Oh, the beast is wounded. Aren't they? The beast is wounded.
And this is where if the beast is wounded, you got to go in for the kill. You got to get that kill shot in early. If I'm the NFL schedule, I would have Patriots, Bills, either one of the first 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
Make it their first divisional game.
And I am hoping to high heaven that Antonio Brown wants as much attention as he possibly can next year. And I'm like, if you want all the attention that you can with the best uniforms in league history, come to the Chargers, bro. Come to the Chargers.
Yes.
He will tolerate you. Production equals tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just hearing this, Antonio, AB, hey, come to the Chargers, man. We will tolerate you. You got all the Prozac, attention, and anything you need. You got the best psychologist, everything.
Well, again, we'll see where he goes. But again, the Chargers, their issue right now, again, is quarterback as well. We don't know who's going to be their signal caller come the summer. And guys, the NFL draft is again. It will be on, but all the pomp, all the circumstance will be gone from it. They're just going to make 32 different studios, do it all by phone. This is a really good way to get things going. So Vegas can wait. But we will have a draft this season, and it was pretty much what I forecasted that they would do. So that is good news. We're still going to have a draft. Looks like the NFL season is still knock on linoleum, still going to be on. And I think, guys, that's really what the issue is. You know, when are we going to have some semblance of sports? We were talking with Tom White from Morgan County High School in Madison, Georgia. Talking again, he said he was doing some baseball. We were talking before the air, and he was telling us, and Tom, I'm going to bring you back in for this, that it's going to be at least mid-April before we have some idea of whether or not these Georgia spring sports can get back underway. Because really, once the normalcy starts, it's going to start at that high school level. That's where we're going to see it first.
Yeah, I think the high schools can move a lot quicker than the college and pros. And, you know, we have been told as a school system, and it's kind of statewide at this point, that April 13th-ish is about the time we anticipate going back.
Okay.
In some conversations with Doug Connolly, our athletic director, he said, you know, so we get that date, and then it's going to take a week or two to get everybody back up to speed because they can't practice. They can't anything.
Right.
So it's going to take a week or two to get back up, and then it becomes a, you know, how do you get these region games in? Because most of the sports are already in region games. How do you get these region games in? How do you get them, get your positioning for the state tournament? And then, you know, you could in theory, get into the state tournament just about on time, maybe a week late if they start at that April 13th date.
Well, they could just throw it into a, and I guess this would be a real tailspin kind of doomsday scenario. Depending on when they play the first round of the state tournament for baseball, they could have just like a region tournament, just gather at one central location on a Saturday and just start playing, you know, game here, make it like a single elimination, really go into your pitching. I mean, they could conceivably do that to get these seedings in, because really it's just about seedings right now to get into the state tournament.
Absolutely. That was one of the conversations, or one of the things that was brought up was, let's do a traditional tournament. Let's do, you know, a best of, you know, do some single elims, some double elims, and get some good games out of it.
Right.
You know, in our region, it's, you're already kind of know, it's already shaping out to who's going to be in the top four. It's just in that top four place, you know, everybody wants that one and two spots so they can host in the first round.
Of course. And Tom, I want to ask you this quick question. You were in Rockdale, which is sort of Metro Atlanta, but not quite. Now you're over in Morgan County, which is on the way to Athens. So you're really kind of, I won't say in the countryside, but you kind of are. There have always been, and we've talked about this a lot here on this show, about the divide between Metro Atlanta schools and everybody else, South Georgia, Middle Georgia, North Georgia. You've been on both sides of this debate now. What do you see as do the concerns of the smaller schools, do you think they have a big concern about the preponderance of Metro Atlanta and what they do in the GHSA?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, and you can look at the basketball programs that have been in Morgan County the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, if you look deep in the tournament for the last 5 or 6 years on boys and girls, Morgan County's been there. Mm-hmm. Now, 3 years ago, the boys were knocked out by GAC down in Savannah. And they were kind of, you know, that more than Metro Atlanta versus more rural schools, it's private versus public. When you're in that 3A, you're kind of in a sweet spot for the private schools. While they are smaller with the additional out-of-district penalty that the GHSA assesses, a lot of the larger private schools, the more successful private schools, are in that 3A public ranking, are in that 3A public classification, which makes it tough. You know, when you've got a school that can go handpick their athletes versus a school that has to pick them from whoever they have, it's a game changer.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've made the comment that in terms of the big knock on the private schools is that they recruit. I don't think they recruit in the sense that the coaches go out, and yes, there are feeder programs that the coaches know about. I think it's more along the lines of parents want to bring their kids into the system. I think that's kind of where that goes. They know that they'll get basically more exposure if they go to a GAC or a Woodward or a Pius or a Marist, and especially in that lower level. don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the parent, obviously the parents want their students to get that recognition and put them on that level that hopefully to where the kid can play at the next level. At the same time, our kids want that too. And so it's a struggle,
right.
For us. And obviously on this side of the table, I think it's a bad thing. If I were on the other side of the table, I'd go, hey, it's the game, play it. So
exactly.
I see both sides of it.
Exactly. So it looks like hopefully in a couple weeks, we'll be able to know whether or not we can get back underway and at least get something going here in this spring season. Because we're waiting for when Major League Baseball can come back, and that hasn't been decided. You know, will we see? I pretty much figure out that the regular season for the NBA and the NHL, they're gone. And if those leagues start up again, they'll go straight into the playoffs. But I think that's the big problem is we just don't know what's going to happen. And the only thing we can do is the social distancing kind of measures, stay home, only do takeout, you know, that kind of thing, and just hope that the curve gets flattened enough for us to slowly come back and just hope that we can pull this off. We can at least salvage something, or at the very least make sure that once September and August roll around, hey, we have football that, and we know we're going to have it. We can get those games in, because I saw a meme that said pretty much here in the South, if you warn the South that, hey, you've got to stay inside for 2 weeks or else you won't have college football in the fall, everyone would stay inside for 2 weeks. No doubt about it. Hopefully it won't get in that. Hopefully it won't get that bad. But like I said, we just don't. It's the uncertainty right now that's killing us. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I realized that the other day that I don't know when the next time I'll see a live sporting event is.
Right.
And that's pretty scary.
None of us knows. Yeah, that's the scary part. None of us knows when are we going to. Yeah, like when are we going to actually? We might not see one. This whole year, this whole calendar year.
Right.
That's how scary this thing is, man.
Although,
that's really how scary
although
it is.
I was watching FS today, and FS1, and they had a NASCAR race, virtual drivers. I mean, you had Jimmy Johnson in the car.
Yeah, I saw that.
You had Dale Earnhardt Jr. He almost won that race too. I mean, you saw cars flipping all over the place. It was kind of interesting, and you really go ahead.
Also, they had the Louisiana Derby yesterday.
Okay.
Down in New Orleans, down at their racetrack, and there was no one in the stands.
Right.
So yeah, it's starting to become really creepy, man.
Yeah, I was watching WWE last night.
Oh yeah, WrestleMania's about to come on now on ESPN. Yeah, they're about to play an old WrestleMania on ESPN. So,
yeah, ESPN2 had the Ocho on.
Right, and their event, their WrestleMania is coming up in April, and what they're doing and what Vince is doing is instead of canceling it, they're going to hold it for 2 nights. So they're going to have it a Saturday night and a Sunday night. And I think with no audience, which is huge. I mean, your show of shows, this is their biggest event. This is WWE's biggest event, and there'll be no fans in the audience.
Well, did you guys see that Gronk was on a WWE event the other night in an empty stadium? And it looked like the strangest avant-garde theater you've ever seen in your life.
Right, it is. It's the weirdest thing. And that they're not going to hold it. If this was supposed to be in Tampa Bay Stadium.
Right.
It was supposed to be in their stadium, but it's not. They're going to actually put it at what's called the Performance Center, which is in Orlando. It's on the campus of Full Sail University. It's still going to have a weird feeling to it, man. And I'm a wrestling guy. I'm a wrestling fan, so as you can clearly tell.
Right.
But it's going to have just a weird, funny feel to it, man. Just a weird feel.
Well, hopefully, I think we have at least one more week to go before any answers start to avail themselves. So we just got get through a little more. And then hopefully we'll have something, some light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully it will not be an oncoming train. I think that's all we can hope for right now. Just tell all our viewers and listeners just to stay safe. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't go out. But if you do out, make sure you use the to-go options. And more importantly, go to your neighborhood restaurants, because I think those are the ones that are really feeling the pinch and the ones that really need to be supported. All right. Well, that's good. We're closing in on an hour here for the last three guys to do a podcast. I tried doing it on a YouTube live feed. However, someone complained and it got taken off due to violation of community standards. Not sure what the issue was on that.
Hold on. Where'd that edgy?
Somebody complained and YouTube responded by pulling the plug on the live feed that was going out over YouTube. Not sure what the
all
issue
was. All I said was damn in hell. I mean,
all I did was say that, you know, I'm just applying for the job for GM for the Texans.
I know. Maybe, you know, Leon, maybe it was. Maybe it was Bill O'Brien of the Houston Texans who was listening to us, heard you basically call his intellectual capacity into question, and he was the one who complained.
Oh, well, man. He should have never traded this guy away, so.
I mean, that could be it. I don't know. Hopefully I wrote a comment into YouTube saying, I don't understand. It wasn't dialogue. What is the issue? Hopefully they'll give me an answer as to what exactly the complaint was. But boy, that very, very surprising on that. We hope to get that straightened out. And if we keep doing this format, I'd like to do more live streaming on YouTube, and hopefully we get some Skype going, so we can have that going out. But man, that just blew my mind that we would actually get a complaint on that. So. Apologize to you guys, and I want to apologize to Tom White, but I really appreciate Tom calling in, talking a lot about his program over there at Morgan County High School in Madison, Georgia, and what he's doing in the community and how this coronavirus is affecting the education level down out there. Now, Tom, I really appreciate you joining us for this hour.
Thanks, John. Thanks, guys, for having me. Good time.
Hope to have you on again.
By the way, I want to say something about Tom. Tom is one of the best executive producers you could have, and he is one of the most underrated play-by-play guys. The guy's great on the mic. He will always say that he's not, and say that I make him look good, but nah, man, sometimes it just takes a team effort, man, and I just want to... He knew I was going to do it to him. I wasn't going to let him go without gloating him. He's a phenomenal guy all around.
Well, I appreciate that. The check's in the mail.
All right.
Yeah, thank y'all again for having me.
Oh, no problem, Tom. Thanks a lot.
No problem, Tom.
Thanks again. Again, that was Tom White from Morgan County High School. Appreciate him stopping in. Like I said, I was opening this up to anybody who would want to call in and talk. Talk about sports, talk about anything, really, because it's pretty much a cliche, but it is true. We are all in this together, and that is what we have to realize, and we're in it together, and we're going to get out of this together. It's not going to last forever. Hopefully we hear a lot of doomsday scenarios, doomsday predictions. Prepare for the hope for the best, prepare for the worst, that whole thing. But while we're under this situation, we have got to just kind of hang tough and stay together. And that's what I was trying to accomplish here. So I was hoping, and we'll try it again next week. Hopefully we'll get the Skype thing working, and hopefully YouTube will tell me what I did wrong, and we'll all avoid that. So I want to thank Tom again and Daniel. Leon, do you guys any final comments? Anything you saw or heard during the week?
I mean, I'm
these NFL free agency moves has pretty much took the cake for me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I mean, I think a guy who threw for 23 and 20 just to get 25.
Yes.
And pretty much get to the starting position. I'm like, wow. And, you know, in my opinion, like, you know, we're talking about gentlemen who have been to the playoffs two times in the last 10 years. Get treated like he was Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, I guess maybe the Colts will tell my tanking this year. I don't know. But I hope that Cam Newton and Antonio Brown somehow catch the same Greyhound and be L.A. bound. Okay, well, not L.A., but I'm not using L.A. and Chargers and things.
Yeah, go to L.A. These two need to go to L.A.
Charger down.
I hope. I've heard reports that Tom Brady is actually trying to lure A.B. to Tampa.
He doesn't need to listen to that guy. He needs to, you know, they got Mike Evans. They got enough weapons.
Okay.
You know, just go ahead and just hit your Greyhound. You and Cam Newton can come to the Charger town. And, you know, make history, hopefully. You know, do great things. You know, A.B. and Mike Evans, that's a very big confidence he's out for. Oof.
Well, I think Tampa needs a running back more than anything. They need a good
one. I'm thinking, too.
They need one. That's really what they need. And hopefully they'll – and if you're – well, you're Atlanta, you hope they don't get it. But I think Tampa, before we go crown Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as your NFC Super Bowl entrance, I think they need some sort of running back just to at least take some of the pressure off Brady. Because, again, he is 43 years old, and Father Time's going to catch up with him eventually. But he needs a good line to keep him upright. He needs a running back to keep defenses guessing. And he needs a receiver who can get open very, very quick. If he gets those three things, they should be able to contend. But right now, that is what the Buccaneers need. All right. So, Daniel, do you have anything further?
You know, it's starting to become a bit real, people. I mean,
yes,
we really don't know. It's just like what we said, man. We really don't know when what is coming back. But I do want to. It's time to tell people that, you know, it's quite all right. You know, it's okay. I know we're struggling, but we have to do what we do to stop the spread of this coronavirus. And the only way we can do that is by staying in, mm-hmm. you know, and by quarantining ourselves. You know what I'm saying? For the best of our ability. It's hard on me because I'm such a guy who has to get out.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, me too.
But I'm also a guy who, you know what I'm saying, who loves his health, and I'm 36. So it's like, I'm, you know, we're young here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and I remember we were talking about this last week. Listen, we'll stay and we'll do this teleconference thing until this thing is cleared up.
Right.
Or at least somewhat cleared up. But we're getting more and more cases, not just in Georgia, but just all around the world, man. We're getting a lot of cases here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, there's no sports, but there's a lot of memories in sports. I mean, look, Friday was one of these days, they had on the whole 30 for 30 marathon.
Yep.
You know, I mean, sports is still giving you the kind of thing. And like I said, man, It is one thing I do want to point out, though. So a team that we did not shout out last week, and I didn't realize this, man. You know, we talked about Dayton and what they could possibly bring to the table. Mm-hmm. But if you turn your attention to women's college basketball, that was going to be actually pretty good.
Oh.
Princeton. The Princeton Lady Tigers, they were 26-1. Going into the NCAA tournament, they were awarded the Ivy League champions of the regular season. Of course, they didn't have a tournament. Nobody did.
Right.
But, a couple of schools had already played their conference tournament before we shut down everything.
Yeah, the Mountain
West.
But
they were 26-1 and had the number one ranked defense in Division I. Mm-hmm. 26-1 and had the number one ranked defense in Division I. No telling what seed they would have gotten, well, because they're an Ivy League school, they probably would have gotten a 3 or a 4 seed because they were ranked number one in the nation as far as defensive efficiency goes. But that would have been something that would have been a tremendous story. You're not just taking away sports. You're taking away the stories. Mm-hmm. That's what's being taken away from us. But the story doesn't have to end here. Let's not make it end here. In fact, let's just go back and read up on the story. Because we're getting outlets, man. I mean, there's something that can be done here. And I know it's going to be tough on a lot of people. It's tough on me. It's tough on Leon, John. It's tough on Tom. It's tough on everybody. But the main thing is to stay safe.
That is.
That's the main thing. And that's what we're asking all of our viewers to do. Stay safe.
That's well said. All right, we'll be back.
Amen, bro.
Yeah, amen to that. We'll be back with you in 7 days for the next installment of The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. I'm John Morgo with Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton. Appreciate all the comments, except for that person who said we were violating YouTube's YouTube's content guidelines. Whoever you are, you know, I got a lot of words for you that I can't say over the air. Appreciate all of you.
Yeah, we good, John.
Appreciate all of that, and we'll hope to be with you in 7 days. And again, if we'll open it up, put it out on social media, and again, if you want to come in with any calls or comments, we would appreciate it. So for everyone, thank you very much, and we'll see you in 7 days. This has been The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast.